אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Yes, there's been accusations that Jews created coronavirus, that affected Jews are being punished by coronavirus, and there's been some calls that COVID-19 is called the Jew flu. These are just some examples of anti-Semitism expressed online by Australians so far during the current pandemic. And it comes amid a global trend of anti-Semitism tied to this outbreak, with Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz saying this week that anti-Semitism, which is already on the rise without the virus, has just gotten another boost.
Shane, I'm absolutely in a shock because that takes you back to medieval time, Middle Ages, when the Jews were accused of poisoning the wells in Europe to spread the virus in Europe. And now we are talking about 2020. They're blaming the Jews for the virus, for the world pandemic. Were there any Jews in Wuhan? What's the story? How they can even make a story like that?
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's the point you just made was raised with us as well by the Anti-Defamation Commission Chairman, Tavir Abramovich. He mentioned specifically that medieval blood libel of Jews spreading the Black Death plague. So this is kind of a modern version of the plague, I guess, and it's the same anti-Semitism from more than a millennium ago. Community security group, that's the in Victoria and in New South Wales, that's the Jewish security group. They've encouraged anyone who sees this kind of incitement to report it to either the Sydney or the Melbourne community security group. And then once it's reported, it can be recorded and some action may be taken after that. If things aren't reported, they're not known about, and nothing can happen.
We're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, last week, Yom Ha'atzmaut, and before Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom HaZikaron. Can you tell us about it, please?
Yeah, it was a very interesting one this year because obviously there's no physical ceremonies could be held because of coronavirus. Instead, in Sydney and in Melbourne, there were virtual ceremonies being held. I tuned into the Sydney one, and it was actually just as emotional as it would have been when I went to the actual ceremonies in previous years. There was the minute silence, the sound of the siren wailing in Israel they played. There was candle lighting. And as part of the Yom HaZikaron virtual ceremony, which was pre-recorded at the Sydney Jewish Museum, special guest Ruhama Levy Rosenzweig, who represents the bereaved Israeli families living in Australia, she shed a tear as she spoke about her husband, Moshe Levy, an IDF soldier who was killed in action in the Suez Canal during the Yom Kippur War. She said Moshe couldn't wait for the draft order to come through, so eager was he to defend our country. She said at that point in time, he didn't know that he was about to become a father, and our beautiful daughter, Moshit, was named after him. Moshe jumped at any opportunity to help other people, and I have lived my life by his example. There was an equally emotional speech, this time beamed from Israel, with Matan Danske. He received a citation of honor during his IDF service during Operation Protective Edge in 2014, and he shared some insights. He recalls as a squad commander having kiddush before his charges went on a mission to destroy terror tunnels in Gaza. He said, in the first break from fighting, I saw that we had lost many of our comrades. Later that summer, my best friend, Yuval, was killed. He fell while protecting Kibbutz Niram and the city of Sderot, and I knew the world would not look to me as it did before. He says, on Memorial Day, I think of my good friends who have frozen in my memories. But I also want to end with hope. He said, maybe on Yom HaZikaron, for just a few hours, we as a people will be one. And just to sum it up, obviously a similar ceremony was held in Melbourne, a virtual ceremony, with guests from Israel and Australia, and including Israeli Ambassador to Australia, Mark Zofer. But in the comments afterwards, this was shown on YouTube on Monday night. More than 600 people in Sydney and more than 600 people in Melbourne watched it. And the comments were going off afterwards, and one of them was by Ruth Guth in Sydney, and she summed it up perfectly in a single line. She said, it was so profound, so moving, and so special to be able to commemorate our fallen together, despite this time being one of isolation.
Shane, straight after Yom HaZikaron, we celebrated Yom HaTzmaut.
That's right. That's the Israeli tradition. It's one after the other. And it's kind of nice that after such a sad day, that everyone can come together and celebrate Israel's birthday, pretty much. So again, there were some virtual ceremonies held in Melbourne and in Sydney. There were people could stream in as well and join in and watch. Some of the guests included CEO of World Mizrahi, Rabbi Doron Peretz. And the lead-up to Yom HaTzmaut also, as a separate thing, the Zionist Council of New South Wales held a hottest 72 hits countdown of the best Israeli songs of all time. People could vote, and in the end, the number one song was by an Israeli folk band called Ha Ba'anot Nechama, and it took out the top spot easily. I haven't listened to it, but I'm sure it's a good song.
I think that probably you have to be Israeli to appreciate the Israeli music. Not always, but most of the time. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, before I let you go, I saw a very interesting story from Denmark.
Yes, that's right. In Denmark, the Danish Bible Society had actually omitted dozens of references to Israel from translations of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament too, published this year. So references, for example, the people of Israel were replaced with Jews, while the land of Israel became the land of Jews. So basically there's no mention of Israel. This happens time and time again throughout this whole thing. There was many, many other examples of that. Defending these deletions, the society said they prevent confusion with the modern-day country. However, the names of other countries from that time that still exist, such as Egypt, have not been changed.
Interesting. Trying to rewrite history again.
That's right. And if I could just mention very, very quickly, if we have time, one last thing. Jewish communal leaders urging and encouraging all Australian Jews to download the government's new COVID-19 app. So this app can detect or let you know if you're within 1.5 metres of someone who either has the virus or who has been in contact with someone who has the virus. So
the COVID Safe app is very, very important. And yeah, I know that people were concerned about safety and security, but I investigated the issue, and not at all. First of all, the data is deleted from your phone after 21 days. And the second thing is location is not recorded. So what it helps you, if somebody actually, if I'm standing in a queue to a supermarket or a pharmacy, and somebody in front of me standing less than a meter and a half from me, 2 days later discover that he has COVID-19, they can contact me and warn me before I spread it on. And so this is really, really important for everyone to download COVID Safe app. Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.